Hey guys, welcome to the channel. I'm so glad that you're here. You know, our mission at Faith is to lead people to Jesus and elevate their faith. I trust that today's sermon would strengthen your faith in God and elevate your confidence for the impossible. God bless you. Let's get into it.
Glory! Tell someone something is about to shake. Tell them something is about to. I don't know about you, but something's gonna shake tonight. Cause the Holy Ghost is in this room and something's gonna shake. Something gonna break. Some devil is gonna run tonight. Tell him, turn it up with me. Ah, mighty God. Oh, Jesus. Turn your Bibles over to Acts 16. 2024, so good to see everyone. Stay standing. We're going to read and you're going to sit. Amen? Praise God. We're going to keep that circulation in your foot tonight because we're staying up late. Acts 16, 20 to 24. And they brought them to the magistrate. Read with me. And they brought them to where? To the magistrate. Anyone ever went in front of a magistrate? Yeah, you know, over here we call it judge, right? In Guyana and in these parts of the world, they call it magistrates, right? They brought them to the magistrates, and most of the magistrates are like smaller courts as well, right? Magistrates, and said, these men being what? Oh, boy. You know, sometimes there's a little racist stuff going on. Thank you. Yeah, you know, you go like these coolie people up in here. I'm not going to the other one. I'm just leaving right there. I'll take the brunt. And said, these men being what? Jews. They didn't care that they were individuals. They were trying to find something different about them to incriminate them. Listen to me. When people want to incriminate you, they don't look for the things that are there similar with. They look for differences that they can point and things that would stand out to incriminate you. Look here, they exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us. Being Romans, right? Okay, look here now. Being Romans to receive or observe. So they're saying they're teaching something strange, right? Then the multitude rose up together. How they rose up? Well, together speaks of what? Unity, right? Yes. Unity. And let me tell you, let me stick a point here. Do not go into 24 without unity. Yes. Touch your spouse. You don't got to show everybody you're touching him, but so we're going in with unity. Touch him. All right, now touch your brother or sister next to you and say, we're going in with unity. I'm going to show you the power of unity. Hey, and the multitude rose up together against them, even though these men did nothing wrong. And the magistrate tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. These men were preaching the gospel, but now because the people were what? No. The people were what? They were together. You know the reason nothing gets done in families, nothing gets done in homes, nothing gets done at the workplace is because people are not what? Together. And you know it affects the church too? Yeah, the church does not move the way it should because we are not what? But thank God that doesn't happen at Faith Church. We are together. Amen? Give Jesus a praise for that. But they, because the people had unity, when they were building the Tower of Babel, God says, let me go down there because these people are of one mind and they're about to build a tower to heaven. Tell somebody, let's get together. We're going to do great things if we get together. The Bible said one can put 1,000, but automatically, I don't know how this happens in the spirit, two puts 10,000 to flight. That's crazy, isn't it? Yeah. I find it crazy. I don't know about you. And the man straight tore his clothes and commanded these men to be beaten with rods. And when they laid many, how many?
Many,
many mean enough. Plenty. Many stripes on them. Now, that is not with a pen or a marker. It is with a rod. A rod, right? They beat them. They then what? Throw them into prison. And commanding the jailer to bring them what? Securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in which? What prison? The inner prison. The what? Inner. Inner. Somebody say inner. In the inner prison. Oh, God. And fasten their feet in stocks. And fasten their feet in stocks. But 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were what? Listening to them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you right now for this word. I pray, Holy Ghost, that you would just put your power in this word. Lord, it is powerful. I pray, God, that you will just open our hearts to receive. I pray it will come forth with power and anointing that will change our hearts and our minds in the name of Jesus. That will shift us, oh God, from 23 into 24, expecting what you have for us without fear and without, oh God, worry and without frustration. But we'll go over with faith and with joy and with power and with anointing, with our heads high, knowing that you're already there waiting for us. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Amen. So now Paul and Silas find themselves in prison, right? They find themselves in prison, and we know they were accused of teaching things that were not in alignment with those who call themselves what? Romans, right? They call themselves Romans. All of a sudden, when they want favor, they now align themselves with the Roman. This was in Philippi, and these were Philippian people, but because they wanted the grace or the good grace or the favor with the magistrate, they say now these men are teaching things that are contrary to what? Us Romans. You know, people tend to go back to their heritage when they want favor. Oh, we are Indians, and oh, we are Africans, and oh, but when you live in your life and things are going good and you don't need no favor, you don't remember your ancestors. Nor, or you know, when you need a political, you need a favor, and the person that is in power is from a specific party, you then quote, oh, I voted for the Democrats. Or I voted Republican. Or, you know, I'm independent. I'm not like them. Yes, because it is now favorable. Somebody say favorable. It is favorable. So now you twist yourself to align so that you can receive what? Favor. So now let's get some backstory. What was happening here? Paul and Silas. You know, I always picture Silas as a little boy. I never picture Silas as a big man. Right? That's just me. I'm a little off. When you sing Paul and Silas in Sunday school, I never picture Silas to be a big, like a big, big league. I thought he was just a simple guy. But Silas was a prophet. Silas was one of the prophets that when they went to the Council of Jerusalem to find out about circumcision or to get a conclusion concerning circumcision and how the Gentiles should live in this newfound religion called Christianity, they sent back Silas with them to bring the report. So Silas was a man of reputation. Silas was not a lightweight. The man was a heavyweight. He was a prophet. There are few prophets that are mentioned in the book, in the New Testament. Agabus is one of them, and Silas, and maybe there are others. But it's few of them that we know by name. But we know that the office of the prophet was in full effect. It's just that we didn't hear many of their names. So Paul and Silas went to Philippi. And as they are walking, all of a sudden now, there's a young lady walking behind them. If you go back to 16 and you read the story, and a young girl is walking behind them, and guess what she's saying? These are men of God. These men have the treasures of the kingdom. These men are sent from God to us. These men, oh man, these you, there's nobody like Paul, and there's nobody like Silas. And she says, for this, wherever they go and preach, she's with them. And she said, oh man, wow, Paul is amazing. Not everyone that flatters you is from God.
Come on, amen.
Not everyone that talks good about you is from God. Not everyone that talks good about you is with you. In 23, you must have encountered somebody that said, oh man, you see Cher, she's amazing. But then when you found out on the job, she's playing both sides of the pond. And she's saying, oh, you're so amazing here. But then she go with the boss and say, you don't know what she be saying. You know what she be doing. She's not qualified for this job. I don't even know how she got in here. She didn't even get a degree. She didn't even go to college. No. And I heard she dropped out. She didn't hear nothing. Am I talking to some people here? So not everyone that seeks to give you approval or to sing your praises is of God. And here, what happens with Paul, the spirit of discernment kicks in. When you discern that is a spirit, you do not entertain it anymore. Just like Jesus, when he went into the temple, you see, Paul was acting like his master. Paul was in line. Somebody say in line. Paul was now in line. When Jesus went into the temple in Mark 1:23-25, there was a man. When the man saw Jesus, the man cried out. He said, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. The demon said the right thing. The demon applauded Jesus' entrance in the synagogue and his presence. But what Jesus said, Jesus looked at him and he said, but Jesus rebuked him saying, be quiet. Be quiet and come out of him. Sometimes we have to discern. Know what is of God and what is not of God. So Paul recognized that this girl had a familiar spirit. The spirit picked up that they were men of God, but it was not the person. It was lip service. And it was also mockery and seeking to flatter. In Middle Eastern culture, flattery was taught that if you could flatter someone, you can get over them. You could buy them over on your side, or you can get one up over them. So that is what the spirit was seeking to do. But Paul recognized that this was a demon that was operating in the young lady. And what did he do? Just like Jesus did, Jesus said, be quiet and come out of him. Paul says, get out of her. He shut the demon down and freed the girl. But that's when trouble began. Nobody cared that the girl got free. You see, sometimes, even you, when you get your breakthrough with God, people get angry. When you're moving with God, and you're in line with God, and things are going right, and you're in step with God, and now you and God moving how? Together. You're going together. Where you lead me, I will follow, Lord. I'll go all the way with you. Who she thinks she is? Who he think he is. I remember when he used to be at the bar drinking, smoking, cussing, fornicating, adulterating, all kinds of stuff. Now he think he's good. Now he think he's straight. But there was a different situation happening here. Now the girl was being used for profit. And the master got angry. And the master said, this can't go down. Because we were making money from this girl being a fortune teller. So probably she used to read palms, and she probably had some cards that she used to read. You know, these things have been around a long time. Remember when Paul went to Ephesus? The people brought their books and burnt it in the square. The books, the witchcraft books, the reading books, and whatever spiritual books they had. And these books came up millions of dollars. You know, you can buy a Bible for idolatry, but you try buying a witch book idolatry. Anybody who ever been in witchcraft, you know what I'm talking about? I'm a little messy, forgive me. All of you said, no, I didn't get it. I had to go to the Botanica, and I had to meet the lady, and the lady had to, and I had to pay like $150, or I had to pay $200, or I had to pay $300, and I had to pay for her to burn some sage, and all of this stuff. Am I talking to people? Yeah. Or am I talking to guilty people? I'm just kidding. I am kidding. Just having fun. Now, say, ouch. I'm telling you, so they got angry. And they said, we have to get rid of these people. You know why drug dealers kill drug dealers? Because somebody's coming on their turf. They don't mind that you're using the drug, but it's the source you're getting the drug from is the problem. They don't mind you smoking that green, that weed, that herb, or popping the fentanyl or pushing up heroin, but it's where you're getting it from. And if John Blue think he's going to come up in my turf, I'm ready. So that's what happened here. Paul and Silas was shutting down their business. And they said, you know what? Magistrate, we are just like you. We are Romans like you. We love Caesar, and here are two men that are contrary to our customs. And we want them out of here because they are contrary to Rome. That's what they said. They're doing things contrary to Rome. And whenever the magistrate hears that, he thinks that these men are trying to create a revolution. And if you know anything about the Roman, in Roman times, if you seek to kick against Caesar, it's your head. So now the magistrate sided with them. And the magistrate said, tear their clothes off. Give them a good whooping. Not the little whooping you got when you were like 10, 12, 15, 13. And then you can't get over it. Oh, my mom always spanked me. And I'm so scarred. My dad was so mean. Get with it. Fathers are supposed to train their children. The Bible says, bring your children up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. It said, don't spare the rod and spoil a child. Break the rod, train the child. It says the back of the fool is for a rod. So if you're doing stupid things, you deserve the rod. Be quiet, parents. Shh. You guys get excited to whoop your kids. Maybe you need the whooping. Because the example you're showing them, you're not showing them any good example. You're not reading the word. You're not opening your mouth and pray. You're not worshiping in the house. You don't want to come to church. When it's Sunday morning, you're sleeping in your bed and you want to whoop the kid. You need the whooping. And the kids shout. Don't mess with my babies, you know. Don't mess with them. These are the future warriors in the kingdom of God. These are the next generation that will come up and plunder hell and populate heaven. These are the prayer warriors. These are the missionaries. These are the preachers. These are the tongue talking, dancing, shouting, praising God. So watch how you treat them because God's going to deal with you. Be careful. So they managed to beat them, put a good whooping on them, and throw them in jail. Now, they didn't just put them in any jail. It says they put them in the inner jail. The inner jail is a dungeon. That's what, there's a first level where you could see outside. You can't go outside, but you could see outside. Anybody ever pass a jail? You see these little windows? Yeah. You see little windows and the guy could see you, but you can't see him. So be careful how you behave around a prison. Somebody's watching you. And it's not God. It's the inmate. Right. But these men were in the dungeon. They were down at the bottom. And now, they didn't only put them there, Pastor Ab, where they were secure. No, these men were in a dungeon. You can't get out of the dungeon. And you know, in Roman times, man, listen, I heard a man said I went to jail. Who was this? It's a finance guy. I think he wrote the book, The Wolf of Wall Street, I think. And he said when he was in prison, he said it wasn't that bad. Because he got to go to the library. He got to read. And that's when he wrote his book, The Wolf of Wall Street, in prison. And I don't know, there's this guy, a famous guy that's called Chong something, whatever. It's like, he's always selling weed and pop. He's talking about weed all the time. But he was his inmate. He's a famous guy. I can't remember his name. But the man said the prison wasn't that bad. Why you think white-collar people go? Martha Stewart was in prison, you know that? Yes. She made it in and she made it out. Because it wasn't that bad. But these men were in a what? Dungeon. Why were they in the dungeon? They were in the dungeon because they were setting people free. They were preaching the gospel. They were praying for the sick. They were casting out demons. They were making miracles happen for people. But guess what? Somebody framed them and put them in. I don't know who it is that's sitting in this room tonight. God is getting ready to deliver you from framers. God is delivering you from framers. People that are seeking to frame you, we come to deal with it tonight by the power of the Holy Ghost, that God will shut the mouth of every liar in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, shout. Listen, false accusers will rise. Jesus told us that. He said you will be accused and they'll take you before the judge. But he said, well, when you get there, don't worry what you're going to say. I will fill your mouth. I will put words in your mouth. So they put them in, lock them up in the dungeon. Now, the other part is, just so that they couldn't run out of the place that they couldn't run out of. They couldn't go nowhere. But you know what they did? They put their feet in stocks. So they probably put them to sit here. And they didn't chain their feet comfortably. So you know what stocks are? It's two logs. This is one at the top, this is one at the bottom, and it comes together, and there's a hole here, and there's a hole here. So just picture their feet through the log, the what's it? Socks. Right? So when they clamp you, baby, you are clamped. You ain't going nowhere. So you see like how you're seeing this mic here? That's one foot, and then over here is another foot. But they don't chain you like this. You know how they put you in? They put one foot here, and they put the next foot all the way over here. Exactly. In a very uncomfortable position, so that you feel the hurt. So you're being tortured whilst you are imprisoned in the wet, musty, nasty, probably all kinds of bugs, spiders, and roaches, and mosquitoes, don't be in dungeon. But rats might be running around. So if the rat want to come and prick you, you're stuck. You are getting pricked. So they locked them up there. We're about to go home now. They locked them in there. And imagine Paul and Silas, they're in there and they're like, so Silas, how does it feel to be in Philippi? And probably go, I can't move. Probably said, hey man, we thought we're coming to Philippi and we're going to preach the good news and people are going to get saved and, you know, and everybody's going to rejoice like when Philip went down to Samaria and joy came to the city. But boy, it looks like pain is coming to us. Pain is being inflicted. We're in this dark dungeon with criminals because they don't put regular people in the dungeon. The dungeon is for what? Those kind of crazy offenders, not offenders, but like murderers, and especially those who are seeking to overthrow revolutionaries, those who are seeking to overthrow Caesar and trying to revolt against Roman rule. But these men were preaching the good news. Jesus said, go into all the world, make disciples, baptize them. So they're happily doing it. But here they find themselves where? In prison, in a dungeon, and in stocks. In pain, it's musty, it is not nice. But something happened after this. Let's go to 25. You see, what happens is, the deception the devil brings is that he tells us when it gets bad, God has left you. When it gets hard, where is God? When your body is aching from head to toe, where is God? When you're not getting justice, no matter how much you try, where is God? When you are before a judge and you did nothing wrong, where is God? When you did not speed, but the red light camera give you a ticket, where is God? No justice. No justice. When you've paid your bills, but yet you keep getting high bills. When the people refuse to come and read your meter and they're sending you over the top corner bills, you're like, where is God? When the landlord says you got to move and you cannot find an apartment, you're like, where is God? You're searching and you're looking. You got money in your pocket, but yet nothing is opening. You're in church. You are faithful. You are giving your tithes. You are giving your offering. Where is God? So that was the situation they found themselves in. A where is God situation. Where is God? But in the moment, you see, we often speed this word up and we say, oh, they got singing. And we forget that they were in pain. And we forgot that they were in a place that they should not have been. And they were with offenders to the highest degree, criminals. You know what it is to be put in a cell? I've been in a cell. Yeah, somebody said, really? It's true. Let me tell you my story. I was doing my nice delivery in my van, and I'm driving on 7th Avenue around 15th Street over there, and a taxi hit me. What happened? Taxi hit me. I did not hit the taxi. The taxi hit me. So I should be okay. Isn't that true? But that's not true. The guy pulls us over. Well, we call the cops. You know you got to call the cops. Back in the days, the cops used to come. They don't come no more. The cops came. You know when you drive on the highway, they say, if you have a minor accident, please exchange information and keep it moving. But in those days, the cops used to come. And that day, they came for me. So the cops came. And they took all the information, everything nice. The cop is smiling at me. And then he tells the taxi, you know, you could leave. So I'm getting ready to leave. He said, no, sir, not you. You can't leave. I'm like, why? He said, step out of the vehicle. Like, okay. I thought, but that guy hit me and he's leaving. They said, no, your license is suspended. That's still good news. Next, he said, turn around. Put your hand behind your back. I said, what? He said, we have to arrest you. I started to cry. I've never been arrested. I've seen it on cops. Seen it in movies. I've seen other people get arrested. But I got arrested. And they put me in the back of the wagon. Well, they had a police car. And you know, back in that car, it's so tight. So I'm cuffed at the back. And I feel like I was in stocks. Because my knees are bracing up. Anybody ever got arrested? Praise God. All right, we got a girl back there. She got arrested. God bless you. Yeah. God bless you. You're in a good club. You're in a good club. But yeah, I'm back there. Yeah, you see? And my knees are bracing up against that thing. And guess what I'm doing? I'm crying. All the way to the station. The poor cop looks back. And he says, "You're a good guy, aren't you?" I say, "Yes." He said, "Don't worry, you're going to be all right." So they took me down to 20 something street downtown. There's a little precinct between 7th and 6th. Thank God the ride was like literally like two blocks. They got me there. And where they put me, Pastor Ab? In the cell. I'm in the cell with a bunch of drunkies. Everybody's high. Everybody's like falling out. And they're like, and I'm just there, like, can't, like, okay. So I'm trying to get the cop's attention. I'm like, "So what's next?" So guess what? Comes down. They said, "We got to take your fingerprint and we got to send it to Albany. As soon as Albany gets back to us, we will let you know if you can go." I said, "How long will that take?" The cop said, "Show me long," but I don't know. But I couldn't cry in there because a lot of people are looking at me now. I cried the river on the way to the place, but I was trying to be bold now. And I'm praying. I'm like, "God, get me out of here." So, did I call you? I don't think I did. No. I had one call to make. You know who I call? I call my customer. And he said, "I am running a little behind. Just bear with me. I'm going to get your stuff delivered in a little while." So I went, it booked me. When I found out, my license was suspended. Why was my license suspended? Somebody used my license, presented it to the cop. So talk about framing. I know all about what it means to be framed. Talk about injustice. I know what it is to face injustice. I have a record down at the court. I didn't do it. But I was framed. And the worst part is, it was a family member. That's the worst part. That's what makes it hurt even more. So, Paul and Silas now. Well, I got out quick because when they did the fingerprint, a couple minutes, boom. And you know what I did? My license was pen. I jumped in my van. I went and did my... I'm not supposed to do that, but I did it. Listen, you got to do what you got to do. But yes, I know what it is to face injustice. Right? So Paul and Silas, now they're there. So what I was saying, sometimes we speed up this word and we say Paul and Silas was in prison and oh my God, they just began, they just started out to sing praises. But you tell that to somebody that's in a jam. You tell that to somebody that feels like they're on their way out and they're not going to make it to tomorrow. Tell it to somebody who is feel like they're at rock bottom and they're about to give up. If you've ever been at rock bottom, you know what it feels like. And so now the Bible continues. They're in stocks. They're in prison. They're in a dungeon. Their feet are fastened and they can't move and they can't do nothing. But somebody said there was a but. 25 says, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were what? Praying and singing hymns to God." Now you are saying, "Pastor, I'm in this level of trouble and you're telling me to sing and pray?" Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Because the Bible instructs us to pray without ceasing. The Bible instructs us to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and make melodies in your heart unto God. It didn't say when things are good. When things are good, it is easy to sing. Yeah. I got anybody in this room? I said, when it is good, it is easy to sing. But Paul and Silas now, they're under pressure. They're on the shame bench, as we put it. And the Bible says, at what? Midnight. At midnight, we're all getting ready to sleep. But when you're in jail or you're in a jam, you can't sleep. When you know that the doctor say you got 4 days to live, you better believe you ain't sleeping. You're waking up and you're looking for life everywhere. Where is life? Where is life? Where will my help come from? Who can help me? What doctor can help me? Or God, when will you come through? So now they're there. But the Bible says here, they began praying. And they began singing. And not only did they sing, and not only did they pray, but they sang loud. That's not written there. But it says that the prisoners were listening to them. If you can hear me, that means I'm not singing in my heart. Hello? You know, oftentimes when we're in trouble, like, oh God, help me. Oh God. When the church says shout, you're like, hallelujah. Because sometimes we make our troubles our gods. We make our troubles the king in the room. We make our situations and we forget that we have a God. We get consumed in what we are going through and we forget that we serve a deliverer. We forget that we serve Ebenezer, the God that helps. We forget that the Spirit of God lives in us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. We forget that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is on our side. Mighty God, when the Elisha was facing death and the armies came and they surrounded his house, the servant said, Master, what are we going to do now? He didn't say, oh boy, we're going to run, we're going to cry, or we're going to holler. He said, no, let me pray for you that you can see what God is doing. Anytime you're in a jam, you better believe that God is working or he's getting ready to move on your behalf. He laid his hands on the servant. And he said, boy, look, when he received the prayer and he looked out, he saw angels all around with sword and he saw chariots ready to defend. Didn't the word of God says that more are they that are with us than those who are against us? So based on that, now Paul and Silas said, boy, we cry enough, we worry enough, we've been held on here too long, it is time to sing. It is time to pray. It is time to dig into the supernatural and pull out deliverance. It's time for us to move the principalities and the powers that think they own the day. And I'm going to move it. It's time for me to move it with prayer. It's time for me to pray a little longer. It's time for me to pray a little harder. It's time for me to stare in my face. Even if my feet are in stocks and it's up in the air, I'm going to pray under pressure. The Bible never said pray when it's good. It says pray at all times. All times when I was framed and I was in that room, I said, God, get me out of this cell. I do not belong here. I know who I am and I know whose I am. Every spirit of delay, get out of the way. I need to get back to business. Somebody need to start to pray. Somebody need to start to shout. Somebody need to start to sing. You see, the reason we do not get spiritual engagement is because we do not practice spiritual principles. Why we do not get visitations from God is because we do not do what God says to do. When we get in trouble, we pick up the phone, we call James, Harry, Pollock, and all the weird names start showing up, and you call them and say, don't you hear what is happening? Don't you hear what is happening? Don't you hear what I'm going through? The Bible says, if you're sick, call for the elders of the church and they will come and they will pray for you. And the Bible said, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, being in the prayer of the faithful, will intervene on your behalf and bring you out of whatever you're going through. It says, if two shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done. Here Paul and Silas came into agreement, and they said, boy, no matter what's going to happen, we're going to pray. We're going to sing. And they began praying at midnight. And they began singing at midnight. And they began declaring the goodness of God. And the Bible said, suddenly. Anybody ever experienced a suddenly of God in your life? This lady was up here. She was broke all year. But suddenly December came around. And God released a word to us. And he said, December is a month of miracles. She not have one job. She have two jobs. Three jobs. She have worked for all of next year. Because what? She believed what God says. The problem is the church have a believing issue. Just because God does not move at our convenience, we lose hope. Just because God don't hop, skip when we say skip. And we're like, where is God? He's like, where are you? He said, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Meaning, when you come near to me, my power will come near to you. My deliverance will come near to you. I will shake suddenly on your behalf because you are coming near to me. But if you stay far off, if I'm far from my wife, I can't enjoy her. Give me a amen. She never got pregnant based on me being far from her. Sounds like joke, but it's true. Waiting pastor get powers and I no powers. No, you gotta draw near. And we draw near in our prayer. You got to have, in 24, when Pastor Cher came up and said, fasting and prayer, the church was dead. She had to beg. And here the Bible says, if you would be as a child. You know who put up their hands when she said fast? The kids. The kids. Because in the kingdom, you got to be like a child. Don't think you're the boss. Everybody think they're the boss. Nobody want to follow nobody because they think they're the boss. I got news for you. The Bible says humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up higher and higher. Glory to glory. Faith to faith. This don't preach good, but I want to tell you tonight, if you're going to 24 and you don't pray, you're in trouble. If you're going to 24 and you don't get on your face with God, you're in trouble. If you're going to 24, the devil will have his way with you. If you don't pray, come to church every Sunday. But don't pray. You got no power. You got no power. Because when the devil sneak up in your house, you don't even know when he comes in. He's doing all kinds of things around you. And like, oh my God, I'm going to die. Oh my God, God, what are you doing? When the Bible says the enemy is crafty. Cunning, meaning he's intelligent and slick. The devil is no fool. He's been around for ages. You know, the old people said, don't bring that with me. I didn't born yesterday. You better believe the devil is just like that. He knows your ins and outs. He know when you leave. He know when you come back. Why you think he can instruct people when you're not home? Wake up, church. Wake up, church. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. You know, wrestling only happens between multiple opponents. That means you're in a war. You're in a battle. And in this battle, you don't win by rice and peas, nor do you win by your salmon and your vegetables and your delicacy. No, you overcome by the blood and knowing to navigate in the power of the Holy Ghost and knowing to open your mouth and decree and declare a thing, learning how to bind and learning how to loose. That is how you win. Learn to pray. That's why we call the fast 21 days of transformation, not 21 days of glory and 21 days of prosperity. No! You need to conform to God and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind needs to come in alignment with God. What do you think Emma was talking about? She was talking about bringing your line into your mind in alignment with what God says. Get off the edges and start to eat some food, man. We come to church as if it's a show. If you don't have a dress, you don't come. If your hair is not done, you don't come. Cut that out in 24. Don't ever let that come out of your mouth again. Because Jesus says, the Father is looking for those who worship Him in spirit. Hold on, spirit. Meaning, from way down inside, He's looking for those who will worship Him from way down inside. You can come and give good lip service. What the demon was doing? Flattering Paul. But I want to tell you, surely your sins will find you out. You can flatter me today, and you can flatter her tomorrow, and you can flatter him tomorrow, and you can flatter her the next day, but one day is going to find you out. You got to learn to pray. So they began praying. Midnight, pray. Next, what they did, they praised God. When you come into the house of God, we do not praise God for what He has done. We praise Him for who He is. They weren't praising God because, oh, you delivered us. No, they were in prison. And they were worshiping and praising God for who He is. The great I am that I am. The creator of the universe. The one that redeemed them from their sins. The one that empowered them with the Holy Ghost. The one that has chosen them to be preachers of the gospel. The one that has liberated them and redeemed them. Pull them from the slave market of sin and imputed righteousness for them. They were praising God. And they were praising Him boldly. They got rods. Most of us will probably say, shh, Silas, shut up. Be quiet. You don't want to get whooped again. They were saying, oh my God, how can I neglect? How can I escape if I neglect such great salvation? You don't know the treasure that's on the inside. You don't know where I was and where God brought me from. So let me alone. Let me praise God. Sometimes you come to church and you say, Pastor, it don't have to be so loud. You don't have to shout that much. Listen to me. I was a nobody and God picked me up and God saved me and He washed me with His blood. Listen, some of you know what I'm talking about. You were probably on a pole dancing and Jesus clothed you in His righteousness. You are carrying guns, carrying knives, killing, stealing. Well, some of you got good pass. All you were doing was gossiping, talking names, looking at people and despising them. You didn't do all of that, but still God saved you. So when we come into the house of God, we got to be like Paul and Silas. I remember one day we're in the upper room and my car insurance just raised like 4 times, some astronomical number. And I came to church. Now, remember, I got framed, so that was on my record. Point stay. I had to plead guilty to the thing. I didn't get off. I had to pay the fine. It's just like Jesus. Sin was imputed to Him. He didn't do nothing. I didn't do anything, but a record was imputed to me. And when the insurance looks at it, they see that I'm driving with a suspended license that stays on your record for a while. And I have all these points. Plus, as a delivery man, I had my own points. I had my own stuff going on. So, my insurance went sky high, Sister Jacqueline. But that Sunday, I came to church. And those days, I used to lead worship. And boy, that worship was different. That praise was different. Because I couldn't afford it. I couldn't afford to pay $600-$700 a month for my car insurance. So I came to church and I began praising God. I came to church and I put the insurance under my feet. Not the paper, but in the spirit, it was under my feet. And I'm dancing on it. And I'm praising God. And I'm saying, God, you're going to deliver me. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to do it for me. I don't know how you're going to do it. And I don't care how you do it. All I need is for you to do it. And I'm going to be like Paul and Silas right now. And I feel like I'm locked up. I'm in a dungeon. And I got all these four babies. Those days they were babies to take care of. And now they want to make me pay $600-$700 a month for car insurance. And that's how I got to do my deliveries. I need the car, so I can't give up the car. It wasn't a luxury. It was a necessity. But I got into church. And mighty God, I got into David mode. Anybody know about David? David, when the ark was coming home. Give me some music. Can you guys give me some music? When the ark was coming home, play a praise beat. The ark was coming home. Just go. Hey! So the ark is coming home. And David said, I've been missing this. What I need is the presence of God. What I need is the glory of God. What I need is more of God in my life. And David, break out. But when David did that, his wife saw him through the window. And she says, how is it that the king can behave like that? So undignified. You're probably saying, Pastor, you're making a fool of yourself. I want to tell you, I'm not making no fool. I'm telling you what I've proven. I'm telling you what I've seen. I'm telling you what I've encountered. I am living in the glory of God. Because I learned to praise God. I learned to worship God. I learned to shabak his name. I learned to give him all my strength. The Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And I went back home. And that same week, Progressive called me. And they said, we've made a mistake. Play that music. Play that music. Somebody needs to begin to praise God. If you want to see a breakthrough, praise God. If you want to see things change in your life, praise him. If you want to see a turnaround, shout unto God. Worship him. We don't come here and praise God because we don't have nothing to do. We praise God because we are convinced that he is who he said he is. He is Alpha and Omega, meaning he started it and he's going to finish it. The Bible said, hold on. The Bible said, suddenly. It never told us that they prayed for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. It never told us that. But I'm sure those boys were there singing in the dungeon. It's hot, sweaty, and musty. But they said, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to praise my God because I know who he is. I know what he has done. And if he could deliver that girl, hold on. If he could have delivered that girl from the demon, he's more than able to deliver me from this prison. The word of God says, suddenly. And here God is about to show off. Sit down. God is about to show off. When the devil think he had it with you, God don't give you one job. He give you two jobs. He give you three jobs. And him give you clients that even though you're going to go do another job, they're going to wait on you. You think that's normal? No. People move on when you're not available. This is America. But when God favor you, wait on the Lord. They that wait on the Lord shall have what? Renewed strength. Ha! Somebody don't need just strength. You need renewed strength. You need the kind of strength that will cause you to soar on wings like eagle. The regular strength will have you flying like a bird. But when you get renewed strength that comes from God, he will cause you to soar. Suddenly, praying, singing, don't give up. Suddenly is about to happen. Suddenly is about to happen. Hey, suddenly is about to happen. God is going to bring you before men. God is going to put you before people. When we were looking for a church building, we couldn't find no church building. We looked everywhere, 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 everywhere. Then suddenly, I felt an impression to call the realtor for this building, not knowing they had a building. And I called the man, and the man said, oh, hi. Oh, yeah, we don't really have nothing. And make it worse, I told him it's a church. You know, churches have a bad rep. They don't pay their bills. If you've been around churches, for the most part, realtors do not want to deal with church. Few of them will take a chance. But this was my prayer, actually. I said, God, when I go before them, make me look like Joseph. I don't care how I look. I want to look like Joseph. Joseph was the favor man. He could have never got turned down. All when he was in the dungeon, he was taking care of the prison. He was the one in charge. The head of the prison handed over the keys to him and said, boy, you are in charge. You are large. And you are in charge. So I said, God, make me like Joseph. So the man said, okay, I have a place here. Come. Come see it. It was used by a previous church. When I came, he told me the story. He said, the church stopped paying their rent. I told you, didn't I tell you? And money, they had money because how he knew? They looked into the mails that come. And they saw that they had over 100,000, but yet they wouldn't pay their rent. Who gets the bad rep? The church. But I said, God, in all of this, make me look like Joseph. Make me look like Joseph. That I cannot be turned down. And the man asked me some questions. He said, okay, we'll give you a chance. I said, you don't have to give me a chance. I don't need a chance. I got money. I don't need a favor. I didn't come here to beg you. I'm ready, I'm locked, and I'm loaded. I got money for you, baby. Because God provided wisdom ahead of time that we were prepared to move. We were prepared to move. So when it was moving time, somebody knows in the fullness of time, at the right time. So keep praying. When it was May month, anybody remember that last fasting and prayer we had in that church over there? Boy, we were there fasting and praying, fasting and praying. We got videos. We can show you videos. Fasting and praying. Prophet Carter was even there with us. Fasting and praying. We're laying on the floor and we're crying out for more of God, for a move of God, but also we're praying, God, provide a place for us. So that we can have what is happening here tonight. Amen? And at the right time, suddenly in the pandemic, God favored us. And God showed up. And when it was time to fix, we had 70,000 to put into this place to make it look like what it look today. We don't own it yet. We don't own it. There's a suddenly coming. And it says suddenly there was a great earthquake. And if you know anything about an earthquake happens suddenly. So you're telling me God don't know what he's doing? The word of God is lie. Suddenly the earthquakes. You don't get warning a lot of times when earthquakes are about to happen, or as everyone would leave the vicinity. Suddenly, what kind of earthquake happened? A great earthquake. I want to tell the church tonight, if you go over to 24 with prayer and praise, God will do some great things for you. He says, if my people, which are called by my names, will what? Will what? You see, God knows that we have a pride problem. Pride and man goes hand in hand. You find a few humble people, but pride and man and women, but the men have a little more pride than women. As a pastor, it's easier to deal with the women. It's true. Much easier for, you know, look who's sitting in the church. Look around you. Ladies. Because men think we can figure it out. Women love God and cry out to God as their help and their source. But men, because we're strong and we have our strength, we think we can figure it out. And you look around the church and the men say, the church is not for me. You know, it's not that. It's that men rebel. Adam rebelled. Adam rebelled. Eve was deceived. Adam wasn't deceived. Adam rebelled. I want to tell you tonight, if you will humble yourselves, every one of us, and pray. Humble ourselves and what? Pray. And seek God's face. He said, I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive the sins, and I'll heal the land. I want to tell you tonight, if we would begin to pray, God will shake New York City. If the church begins to pray, earnest prayers, prayers that cost you something, you'll see your loved ones get saved. If you begin, we have a testimony of a woman here, right here, she's sitting here. Her son was a rebel. He wasn't good. He wasn't good. Was he good? Oh, you don't really like it. I'm so sorry. No. But she prayed. And she prayed. And she prayed. And you know what she did? She arrested the demons around him. Like how Paul dealt with the spirit. A lot of times we don't want to touch spirits. But if you're in a war with spirits, why are you warring with people? Then the Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and against what? Spiritual wickedness in high places. She arrested the spirit, and guess what happened? The boy got saved. And this is only 3 weeks ago story I'm talking about. We need to get active in our prayer life. We need to get active in our praise life and watch what God will do. You're worried about anxiety, you're worried about depression, you're worried about poverty, you're worried about lack, you're worried you can't meet your bills. Get them bills and praise on them. Put them on the ground and dance on them. Let them know that they don't own you. God owns that. God is going to take care of that. Whatever you're suffering with, you know, that's why people bring pictures to church, so we could pray as a point of contact. You know, Some of you probably accustomed to taking people's picture to the witch doctor and they're poking stuff and the person goes, ow! And you carry your hair. When I used to go to primary school, the kids used to be like, I'm going to take your hair and burn it when I go home. But they that know their God shall be strong. And they shall do exploits. You see, Paul and Silas, they knew their God. They knew in whom they have believed in. The church is a place of relationship. Get to know Jesus tonight. Let's all stand in this room. You want to get over whatever you're struggling with? Submit your life. And I'm going to show you here. I could preach just a little more. And it says, so that the foundations, I didn't even get to my sermon yet. The foundation of the prison was shaken. Tonight we're going to shake some foundations. Anything that is not of God in your life, we're going to shake it tonight. I said, anything in your life that is not of God, we're going to shake it tonight. Okay. You keep the stuff. I'll say it again. Anything in our lives, I'm putting myself in it, that is not of God, we're going to shake it tonight. I'll say it one more time. Listen. Hold on. The prison was not of God. The stocks were not of God. No moving. Where are we going? Where are you guys going? Stay put. Let this place feel good. Stay right where you are. All right, go. If you're at the back, just keep moving to the back, but stay put. We're getting ready to pray. The foundations were shaken. They needed the foundation to be shaken. Because if the foundation did not shake, they could not get deliverance. Amen? If the foundation did not shake, they could not get deliverance. I wonder, some of us are sitting under generational curses. We need those foundations to shake. Some of us are under the cloud of depression. We need that foundation to shake. Some of us, as we stand in this room, there's probably false witnesses that have risen up against you. We need that to shake. Some of you are in poverty, and it seems like everywhere you go, it follows you. We need that to shake. Some of you can't move. You don't know what next month looks like. We need that to shake. Some of you are under demonic oppression. Your families, it seems like your family cannot go forward. Your marriages are under attack. That needs to shake tonight. I wish I had a church that would agree with me, but I'm still pushing forward. Because I'm here to bring somebody out tonight. I'm here to bring somebody out tonight. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately. You see why doors don't open and you can't go forward? It's because of the foundation that you're standing on. The foundation holds you hostage. But if the foundation shakes, if the spirits that are affecting your family shakes, and if the earthquake of the Holy Ghost hits them, and they lose their holds, what you've been believing God for will come to pass. Anybody believing tonight? And when they lose their hold, doors will begin to swing wide open. Doors on the right, doors on the left will begin to open, and every chain will be.
Thank you so much for watching this message. We pray that it encouraged your hearts. We also want to say a special thank you to our faithful givers and partners. It's because of your generosity that the vision moves forward. If you would like to partner with us, please visit faithchurch.life/give. On Sundays, we have our Sunday services at 10 a.m. live on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. So join us there. Don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe so you never miss another sermon again. I'm Emily. Let's make this happen.